pulls up right baseline, and he cashes in from about 13 feet.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
To Siakam, he's going to tee one up from three, and he cans it. Another big-time bucket from the Raptors. That will do it on this one. A hard-fought win for the Toronto Raptors, playing gritty basketball and taking one here on the home floor of the Bucks.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Bam!
Raptors defense suffocates the Bucks here at Fiserv Forum, and just when you thought the Bucks could start to build another win streak here, another tough loss, and that's really been the theme of this season for the Bucks, for the Raptors as well. Nick Nurse talked about this a little bit before the game. We've heard, obviously, a lot of those discussions from Coach Mike Budenholzer throughout the season as well. These are two teams that were far from 100%. Raptors without a backup point guard, the Bucks playing with only one backup point guard, not their traditional point guard, and that really told the story of the game. This Raptors defense did a lot to slow down Giannis, and really you have to point to the absence of Jrue Holiday as the reason Toronto was able to do that. We heard over and over and over for the last couple of years, build a wall, slow down Giannis, put bodies in front of him, and as if it's the easiest thing to do. The Raptors can do this because of their personnel. The Miami Heat have been able to do it because of their personnel as well. But also, this, you harken back to 2 years ago, 3 years ago, in that Eastern Conference Finals series when we talked about the personnel that were on the floor for the Bucks. This was a lot like that. Now you have upgraded some shooting with players like Grayson Allen out there. Pat Connaughton has become a much better shooter. But it was the ability of Jrue Holiday that really changed everything for the Bucks in their playoff run last year. His ability, obviously, defensively, but offensively as well, to generate and create his own offense. But most importantly, Jrue Holiday is an offensive player you have to defend. You can't play 4-on-5 against him. And he was missing tonight. With Jrue Holiday running the offense, setting things up, getting the ball out of Giannis' hands at the top of the key, that changes how the Raptors are able to defend this team. And the fact that he was not on the floor tonight allowed the Raptors to do some of those things and ultimately allowed them to recover from a slow start and a hot shooting performance from the Bucks in the first 12 minutes of play and take the season series with an impressive win, 103-96. Give credit to this Raptors team. They were shorthanded just as the Bucks were, but they made the plays, and that fourth quarter especially, it felt like it was trending one way, and the Raptors completely turned it on its head, dominating the hustle categories once again. Number to get in touch with us tonight is 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line if you want to join in on the show tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. But there is some good to come from this as well, and it really revolves around Giannis and what we've seen at the free throw line. We'll get to some of those numbers in just a moment. You also got to give credit to Pascal Siakam. Second career triple-double for Siakam tonight. Two straight games where you could make a strong case against the Bucks that Pascal Siakam was the best player of anyone on the floor. And again, 30-plus points from Siakam in the victory tonight. He was terrific. Fred VanVleet continued to make some plays down the stretch. And their role players came up with big plays. Chris Boucher with a couple of big defensive plays for them. Precious Achiuwa with one of the bigger plays of the game. The offensive rebound tip-in on a free throw miss in the fourth quarter when the Bucks continued to climb the hill and start to chip away at the lead. The Raptors just made the little plays tonight. And again, it's not an excuse, but the absence of Jrue Holiday really changed a lot in this game and allowed the Raptors to do a majority of those things as they beat the Bucks in Milwaukee tonight, 103-96. Again, the number to get in touch with us, 855-616-1620. The Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. When we return, stat of the game, those Giannis numbers, the good numbers that we mentioned. We also have to give some credit to Grayson Allen. We talked about this on Thursday night. Grayson Allen continuing to play very, very well for the Bucks. We'll get to all of that after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
In this third quarter, trailing by two, Giannis pulls up right baseline, and he cashes in from about 13 feet. Good-looking jumper there for Giannis.
One of the few shots that Giannis hits that didn't come at the free throw line tonight. This was one of Giannis's bigger struggles offensively in terms of his field goal shooting in this game. Goes 6 of 17 from the floor, 1 of 3 on his threes, but 17 of 17 at the free throw line to get to 30 points. Mentioned this on the pregame show in a segment I did with Ben Brust. Giannis is leading the NBA in scoring in the month of January, but the Bucks now below 500, 3-4 in the seven games Giannis has played in January so far. Leads the NBA in scoring, rebounding, was averaging 8 assists a game as well. So he's making a strong case for the player of the month for this month. But the Bucks, the team success just hasn't been there. Now, there's a couple of things to get to we talked about on Thursday. It revolves around Grayson Allen, but I got to point out as well, we spent a couple of minutes talking about this on Thursday. You can't help but feel like the Bucks have gotten up for the big matchups on their schedule. They beat the Warriors, and they beat down the Warriors on Thursday. They came out motivated and looking to win that game. They beat the Brooklyn Nets shorthanded last week. Those games have not been a problem for the Bucks. Games against the worst teams in the league, teams like the Orlando Magic, teams like the Pistons, like the Indiana Pacers, the Thunder, the Spurs, and the Houston Rockets. Those are the six worst teams in the league. Those games have not been a problem for the Bucks this season. It's been those games against teams in that 7 through 12 range in each of their respective conferences that have been the issues for the Bucks this season. And it continued tonight as they fall to the Raptors. And now, against those teams in the middle of the pack, the Bucks are 6-12 on the season. 0-3 against the Toronto Raptors, 1-2 against the Hornets, 1-2 against the Celtics. None of these teams are teams you would suggest are going to beat the Bucks in a playoff series. Hornets aren't going to do it. Celtics wouldn't do it. The Wizards wouldn't do it. The Raptors wouldn't do it. The Knicks won't do it, although the Bucks have been successful against the Knicks this season. But those are the teams the Bucks have struggled with, whether it's where the games fall on the schedule, the injuries, or just frankly a lack of motivation that you've hit this stretch in the schedule. We've heard Coach Budenholzer talk about it. We've heard Coach Darvin Ham talk about it. We've heard countless opposing coaches talk about these are the stretches of the schedule, the portions of the schedule where it's just, it's difficult to keep that focus and stay up game after game. And that appears to be the issue that this team is dealing with right now. Certainly in the injury report, but also just the motivation to get through this stretch of schedule. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line to join the program. Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. We head out to the phone lines, talk with Dick in Port Washington. You're up. What's up, Dick?
Yeah, well, there's only 3 points I'm going to make about tonight. It was a blip in the screen. You know, Toronto's going to have to play in the play-in tournament. But, you know, where the heck was Grayson Allen in that fourth quarter? I don't understand where he was sitting on the bench. And Giannis, you know, he talks about trusting the wings and everything. He didn't trust them enough tonight. My main concern, though, is that, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but Coach Bud is talking about Jrue Holiday almost verbatim the way he talked about Brook Lopez. And all of a sudden, Lopez wasn't on the bench anymore and he had surgery. I don't know, you might have more insight, obviously, than I would, but I've got a real concern that Drew's ankle injury is a lot more serious. Are you concerned about that?
I wouldn't say I'm concerned. I also don't know when to expect him to return based off some of those things that you've kind of alluded to that Bud has said, that, you know, he said before the game today, we'll see how long it takes to get him back on the floor, that I think it was before the game on Thursday had kind of said, yeah, we thought we were in a good spot, but then things changed a little bit and we're just more focused on the big picture here and making sure he's healthy. So that in itself leads you to believe it wasn't going to be a, hey, he's going to be back Saturday or he's going to be there on Monday. I mean, just based off the context there of what he said, I wouldn't anticipate Drew Holiday to make the trip and play on Monday against the Hawks. That it feels like it's going to take some time for him. And look, if it's just, yeah, that ankle is not 100%. We've dealt with a lot of injuries so far this season. We want to make sure he's 100%. We want to make sure he's 110%. So we know this is kind of, you know, the rough patch in the schedule. Let's make sure he's ready and fresh for the second half. If it's as simple as that, great. But, you know, the ambiguity we've seen with the injury report overall, not just from the Bucks, from a handful of teams where you see guys listed as questionable and then you learn, oh, by the way, they had surgery. I mean, the Toronto Raptors today, before the game, had Gary Trent listed as questionable and Scotty Barnes was listed as out. Well, when we heard from Nick Nurse before the game, we were immediately told, hey, Gary Trent Jr. is not going to play. Scotty Barnes, we think, is going to play, which is a complete 180 from their injury report. Then Scotty Barnes was changed to doubtful and then eventually ruled out. So we've seen this across the league. I understand the hesitation to take people at their word and say, well, maybe they're just being cautious here, because quite frankly, the way the Brook Lopez thing came about, we still don't really know what the issue was other than the fact that he had back surgery. But in this instance, I wouldn't say I'm concerned. I am going to wait and see here, and I'm of the mindset that the Bucks are just going to be extra cautious with Drew Holiday. It's just a weird scenario where he exited health and safety protocols early last week. There was some thought he may even make the trip to Charlotte for game two of that series, similar to what Dante DiVincenzo and Pat Connaughton did. And then when it didn't happen, we were told, hey, he's dealing with some ankle soreness, so that's the big issue. But then once we got to Thursday and you started to learn, yeah, that ankle has actually gotten worse, still not the concern, wouldn't be the word that I use for it, but I'm in wait and see mode that, you know, I don't anticipate he's going to play on Monday. I'm curious to see if he's back for either of those two games against both the Memphis Grizzlies and the Chicago Bulls next Wednesday and Friday. But, you know, I think we saw tonight why it is very important to take your time. If that is indeed what they're doing, make sure Drew Holiday is fully healed, ready to go 100% on that ankle. Because without Drew Holiday, this felt like 2019 in that series against the Toronto Raptors that, you know, we talked and threw numbers out there all throughout last year of how much Drew Holiday really changed things for the Bucks offense, certainly the defense as well. But you saw it tonight where you did get Giannis back on the floor. And Toronto was still able to do things to slow down the game and really muddy things up and use a lot of those same strategies they did in the Eastern Conference Final in 2019, because in that series, they could play five defenders on four Bucks players and say, look, we'll let Giannis shoot threes. We'll let Eric Bledsoe do whatever he wants. We're using our length. We're building a wall. We have some pretty good individual defenders. And we're just going to say, hey, take long shots. Take long twos. You're not getting anywhere near the basket. And at times, to Dick's point, you did see a lack of trust at times where Giannis was just dead set on getting to the basket. Grayson Allen started fantastic, finished with 18 points. It wasn't just the fourth quarter. It was the entire second half where Grayson Allen finished with just 3 points, and one of those came at the free throw line. So this felt like 2019, and Drew Holiday was a big reason for that, that you see how much he changes everything, not only giving the team another reliable offensive weapon that can score all around the floor that the defense has to worry about regardless of where he is, but most importantly, as a point guard, because Giannis was the primary point guard tonight. It worked great against the Golden State Warriors, but Golden State doesn't do anywhere near the job the Raptors do of pressuring the point of attack. And also, it is worth pointing out, they didn't have Draymond Green in that game, who also helps out their team defense and would have been a guy matched up on Giannis for chunks of that game. So we've seen Giannis have this success as the distributor against certain teams, but there's a handful. Teams like the Raptors, teams like the Miami Heat, with the personnel they have, if you don't have that third guy and you don't have Drew Holiday, you don't have Brook Lopez, whoever it is, if you don't have that third guy that can set up the offense and that can be another option reliably, they're going to be able to build that wall and really slow down the Bucks' offense, and that's what we saw tonight. 855-616-1620, the AccuNet Mortgage talk and text line. Dick brings up Grayson Allen. I thought he was tremendous in the first half. Goes without saying. Scored 15 points in the first half. There's two straight games where overall Grayson Allen looked pretty good. This comes on the heels of some struggles that he went through. Now, we can point to the flu that he battled. He was in health and safety protocols as well. So it's been a rough stretch for Grayson Allen. But he's looked pretty good in two straight games. But I got to look back at the fourth quarter. And some of the lineups we saw out there in the fourth. Now, we've seen this before. And we've heard from Coach Budenholzer earlier in the season about his trust in some of those defensive units, specifically Wesley Matthews and George Hill on the floor together to close games out. But tonight, maybe felt like we need to start to see some different looks, specifically as it relates to Grayson Allen. 855-616-1620. Why it is maybe Grayson Allen should be on the floor to close games out. Some more third quarter woes for the Bucks as well. And oh, by the way, we talked about the Bucks schedule starting to pick up. It has picked up for the Chicago Bulls. Not only that, but Chicago dealing with injuries. And I mentioned it on the network post. So are the Brooklyn Nets, as there was a potentially big injury that occurred tonight in the Nets matchup with the New Orleans Pelicans. We'll get to all that after this. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Here's a three-pointer from Hill, and Hill will answer as he rattles one through from the top of the arc. So the Bucks climb back to within two again.
Yeah, it was one step forward, two steps back for most of that fourth quarter for the Bucks. I mean, this felt like two very, very different games when you look at that first quarter versus the final three quarters. As the first quarter, everything went the Bucks' way. Mentioned they were 50% from the outside. They hit 6 of 12 on their threes. They were near 50% from the floor, and it was Grayson Allen doing quite a bit early. 7 of the first 16 points scored for the Bucks. A lot of balanced offense. Grayson hitting some shots. Giannis scoring in the early going. Chris and Bobby. It was Wesley Matthews, the only player not to score amongst those first 16 points scored for the team. But that all started to change midway through the second quarter. The Raptors would start to inch closer. And in the third quarter, it's when the Raptors jumped in front and eventually took this one, winning this 103-96. Number to get in touch with us tonight on the program, 855-616-1620. That is the AccuNet Mortgage talk and text line. I mentioned Grayson Allen, and this two straight games where it's good news, bad news. The bad news is obviously you lost. Bad news, too, is Grayson Allen only finished with 3 points in the second half. But the good news is this is back-to-back games where you've gotten a strong showing from Grayson Allen after some struggles earlier in this season, for the last couple of weeks, I should say. He battled the flu. He was pretty open about that. He lost 10 pounds and was dealing with that illness. Then he went into COVID protocols. Even around that time, once Dante Vincenzo returned, it was Grayson Allen. You got the sense kind of trying to figure out what is his role with the team. Where does he fit in when Dante's back? And a step beyond that, as this team started to get healthier, Grayson Allen was no longer the second or third option as he was for most of the early portions of the schedule. So he started out terrific for this team, then went through some adjustments, then dealt with that illness. But now, I know it's only two games, but he's looked fantastic in those two games. You just want to see more and more sustained offense from Grayson Allen. You need more than 3 points in the second half, and that's not just on Grayson Allen. It's on putting him in some better spots, getting the ball to him a little bit more. But you go back to the fourth quarter, and you can understand why it was done. That we've seen this done before, and Bud has talked about this before this season, about what he likes about this group. George Hill and Wesley Matthews, the defense and the experience that they bring, early in Wesley Matthews' tenure here, we saw closing lineups with George Hill, with Wesley Matthews, with Jrue Holiday, with Chris Middleton. More of the same tonight, where the Bucks needed stops. Their offense went cold, but they needed to get rebounds and come up with stops on that end of the floor. So from that stance, I can understand why you choose George Hill and say, we're going to roll the dice and go with some more defensive versatility. But you also needed offense. As we saw in the fourth quarter, the Raptors were getting good shots. The Bucks were not. Turnovers were a big issue in the third quarter. Turnovers cut down a little bit in the fourth quarter, but the Bucks just couldn't get any clean looks and couldn't get into their offensive sets other than towards the end of the shot clock. And that gave the Raptors even more time to build that defense. But also, the Raptors were making the Bucks work defensively for 24 seconds each and every time. You go through that, and then you come down on the other end of the floor. You struggle to get into your sets. It feels like double the work. I would have liked to see Grayson Allen on the floor a lot more in the fourth quarter than we got a chance to see tonight. Finished the game with 27 and a half minutes. Played 7.5 minutes in the fourth quarter. But the way this game was going, I would have liked to see Grayson Allen play at least 9 minutes in that fourth quarter. And this was not a great game for George Hill. That it wasn't a standout defensive performance, I didn't think. Wesley Matthews was really the only guy you would point to and say he played extremely well defensively. And this is two games in a row where you think about the versatility and the different matchups that Wesley Matthews has had all throughout the season. Two straight games where Wesley Matthews is tasked with defending a much smaller, much quicker, and a different style two-guard, point guard, essentially, in Steph Curry. And tonight, Fred VanVleet. We're used to seeing Wesley Matthews take on some bigger guards or some wing players, but now two straight games where you say this is the best offensive option in terms of the backcourt for this opponent. You're taking him, Wes, with no Drew Holiday, and he excelled. But you didn't get much offense from Wesley Matthews, and the Bucks as a team, they got decent looks early. They just didn't hit him. You had a few good looks down the stretch that you just did not hit. These are shots that were falling the last couple of games, and they didn't fall tonight. You needed more offense, and I would have liked to see Grayson Allen out there on the floor a little bit more than he was playing those 26 and a half minutes in tonight's game. I would have liked to see more of Grayson Allen in the fourth quarter. So the Bucks, that's where we're at. The bench is, you know, we talked about the struggles of that second unit, the offense, some of the numbers that you get from the bench tonight. It was another one of those performances where you look at the numbers and say, not a great night from the second unit. 16 points scored from the Bucks bench. They did hit 4 of their 12 three-pointers, going 4 of 12 from the outside. But just 5 field goals in this game. George Hill with 3 of those from the Bucks second unit. 16 points. 8 of those points came from George Hill. And look, with no Brook Lopez, with no Drew Holiday, Bobby Portis would traditionally be coming off the bench. Wesley Matthews or Grayson Allen, one of those two guys would be coming off the bench. So you'd get more offensive production there. Dante DiVincenzo, another guy who, just as we talked about with Grayson Allen, took him some time to adjust and to fit in or figure out how he fits in as number 4, number 5 down the line. Dante DiVincenzo is just getting back in the mix, period. And he's still yet to find that rhythm. He finished with 3 points tonight. You've seen some stretches of burst from Dante and some good moments, but more of that figuring things out. And that's been another issue with the Bucks bench. So this whole process is going to take time. You got to get healthy. That's when the bench will improve. But those are where the minutes were lost tonight. When the Bucks went to that bench, one of the biggest advantages they've had throughout this season is when they've gone with lineups of Drew Holiday and 4 bench players, they've dominated the opponents. With no Drew Holiday and with more and more guys on the bench being moved up a line and asked to do more, it takes away from that offense and from that overall productivity, and that's where it was lost tonight. But give a tremendous amount of credit to the Toronto Raptors. Night 2 of a back-to-back, they basically played 6 players in this game. Yuta Watanabe started and played 5 minutes. Sfi Mihailuk played 7 minutes off the bench. Other than that, it was 6 guys who basically played 35 or more minutes. Pascal Siakam was at 40. Fred VanVleet was at 42. Chris Boucher was at 37. 39 from Precious Achiuwa and OG Anunoby. So night 2 of a back-to-back, the Raptors played 6 guys, and they won the hustle plays. You're just not going to win the game when that's the case. 855-616-1620, the AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. When we return, injuries are starting to pile up in the Eastern Conference. Obviously, between these two teams, the Bucks and the Raptors, but some big ones with the two of the teams atop the Eastern Conference. And we'll get you updated on some of those scores that have a significant amount of meaning to the Bucks as they get set for Monday's matchup with the Atlanta Hawks. More after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Steps back with the shot clock at zero, misses the three, but chases down his own rebound and then lays it in with the foul. So OG Anunoby, we talked about it. Want to, toughness. He wanted that ball more than anyone else, and he was the one who got it and then finished with the three-point play opportunity.
All right, hustle plays really dictating this game as the Raptors beat the Bucks 103-96. Both teams shorthanded, but what you need to know, the Raptors playing on night two of a back-to-back. They lost to the Pistons last night, and they rebound strongly on night two of a back-to-back. They essentially play six players and out-hustle the Bucks, win this game 103-96. A little late for it, but no time better than now to get to the stat of the game.
Everybody in here, stat.
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
All right, this one is easy. And if you listen throughout the show, you've already heard a lot of the context. The Raptors dominated the hustle plays in this game, and our stat of the game comes to us on the glass, where Toronto in this game just absolutely controlled the offensive rebounds, 16 of them to be exact, an offensive rebounding rate nearing 35. The league average is around 27. The Raptors dominating that, and that led to so many second chance points, 20 of them to be exact. The offensive rebounds tell the story of this game. They get 20 extra points on the second chance points. They take 91 field goal attempts to 77 for the Bucks. The Raptors' dominance on the glass is our stat of the game. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us. Final few minutes here on Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. Again, I'm going to keep pointing this out. The Bucks struggling against those teams outside, or I should say in the middle there within their conferences. It's 6-12 now against teams between 7-12 in their conference. When the Bucks play top tier teams, they've been successful. When the Bucks play the six worst teams in the NBA, they've dominated them. It's those teams in the middle that have given the Bucks fits. 6-12 now on the season. That includes 0-3 against the Raptors, 1-2 against the Hornets, 1-2 against the Celtics. And we'll see if that needle moves on Monday when the Bucks head to Atlanta to take on the Hawks. You've only played Atlanta once, and you've lost that game. So we will certainly see a little bit more of this on Monday in Atlanta. Make note of the tip time, 5 o'clock tip-off, afternoon basketball with the Bucks and the Hawks. Mention the Hawks, and taking a look at the scores here around the league. Atlanta played tonight, taking on the Knicks, a playoff rematch, and they lose that game. So the struggles continue for the Atlanta Hawks, who are now 12th in the Eastern Conference on the season. Certainly not where they expected to be, 17-25. Right now, the Atlanta Hawks are 4.5 games out of the playoffs. The New York Knicks right now hanging on to the 10th spot in the Eastern Conference at 22-21, but the Hawks, who were in the Eastern Conference Final a year ago, who you looked at the roster and said, it's a young team. Trae Young has been an all-star. John Collins is an all-star level player. Onyeka Okongwu showed you some glimpses there in the playoffs and his defensive ability. Other players that they had on that team, Clint Capella and what he gives them with his role options. DeAndre Hunter and his two-way play. A loaded, talented young team that you thought this could be one of those teams that lingers around top the Eastern Conference for the next few years. But it's been a disaster of a season so far for the Atlanta Hawks. And we already saw the first trade of substance involving the Atlanta Hawks earlier this week, shipping off Cam Reddish to the New York Knicks. So Cam Reddish with a revenge game of sorts in that matchup tonight for the Knicks, the victorious Knicks, against the Atlanta Hawks there in Atlanta. So the Hawks now get set to take on the Bucks on Monday in a 5 o'clock tip-off there out in Atlanta. And should point out, too, Cam Reddish did not play in this game tonight between the Knicks and the Hawks, did not play against his old team. I mentioned the rest of the story in the Eastern Conference. Right now, the Bulls still lead play at 27-13, but the Miami Heat and Brooklyn Nets are each just one game out of the lead in the conference. They're both 27-15. The Heat and Nets both playing tonight. The Heat are losing, though. 101-91 with 2 minutes left in Miami. 76ers are winning that game. So Philadelphia is going to continue to climb the standings in the Eastern Conference, and they've been dealing with a lot this season. Philly appears to be headed towards 25-17, and Miami would drop to 27-16. But really, the score worth pointing out was in Brooklyn. Nets take care of the New Orleans Pelicans, 120-105. But in that game, Kevin Durant left with what the team has called a knee sprain. Now, it was on a defensive play. Bruce Brown defended. I didn't see who the offensive player was, but Bruce Brown losing his footing and falling into Kevin Durant, falling into his knee. It didn't look quite as bad as some knee injuries you've seen in the past, but look, the thing with a knee, you never know what happens with that. I mean, if we looked at Giannis's injury against the Atlanta Hawks. Granted, Giannis is a freak of nature, but if you looked at that injury, you would think Giannis might not play at all this year. He came back a week later. This Kevin Durant thing, there's been a lot of miles on his body this year. James Harden's as well. The Kyrie Irving situation with him not being there until just recently and still only able to play road games, it has put a lot of stress and a lot of strain on both James Harden and Kevin Durant. They're playing heavy minutes. That was one of the issues, and it became painfully apparent to any Brooklyn Nets fan last year as they went into the playoffs. Man, we've put a lot of miles on our two best guys. What happens if they start to break down in the postseason? And now you're already seeing it again because some of that team that the Brooklyn Nets have assembled, they just have not performed as expected this season. Blake Griffin has not been the same guy that he was a season ago. Jeff Green has not been the player you anticipated getting so far this season. Even in the backcourt, Patty Mills has had some good games. Patty Mills has very much looked like a veteran point guard in the NBA. LaMarcus Aldridge has not looked the same either. So a lot of guys that the Nets have invested a lot in and expected to help alleviate some of that stress off of Kevin Durant and James Harden, they just haven't been the players we've been accustomed to seeing. And injuries are unfortunately becoming a big subplot to this season. Wait and see mode on Kevin Durant to see if he's going to miss any significant time. But think about the amount of stars we've seen impacted, not just by health and safety protocols and COVID injuries. Damian Lillard had never missed more than 8 games in a season all throughout his career. Already up to 12 missed games this season, and we know he's going to be out for at least a month or a month and a half after going abdomen surgery. Who knows what the deal is with Kevin Durant moving forward? CJ McCollum with a collapsed lung. I mean, we have seen a number of star players deal with injuries, deal with COVID and health and safety protocols. And it's gotten to the point where games like tonight between the Bucks and the Toronto Raptors, where you don't have Jrue Holiday for the Bucks, you don't have for the Raptors Scottie Barnes, who's been tremendous for them this season, Gary Trent Jr., that's becoming the norm. It's no longer becoming, we know we're going to have these 8 or so guys, and occasionally one player is out. You approach every single day basically recognizing you're going to have at least one of your key contributors on the sidelines. It's certainly been the case for the Bucks. It's certainly been the case for the Brooklyn Nets. Philadelphia 76ers as well, for a number of reasons. They dealt with COVID earlier in the season. They're continuing to deal with the Ben Simmons saga. We mentioned Portland and what they've gone through. And now, oh, by the way, the Chicago Bulls, who are also playing right now and leading the Boston Celtics. But the Chicago Bulls now starting to deal with some injuries as well. Zach LaVine leaving the game last night with a knee injury. Very, very early going against the Golden State Warriors. So Chicago and Milwaukee and Brooklyn and Miami, who's been without Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler for large stretches of the season. All of these teams are starting to deal with massive amounts of injuries. The All-Star break cannot come soon enough, not only for the Bucks, who still have played the most games in the NBA, and as we mentioned on Thursday, they've played almost 140 games total since January 1st of 2021. All-Star break can't come soon enough for the Bucks, can't come soon enough for the Nets, for no team in the NBA. That is where we're at with the player availability and everything else that's been going on this season across the league. It is also worth pointing out, the Chicago Bulls have not played the easiest schedule in the league. They had a couple of stretches early where it did get a little difficult, but this could be a very, very telling stretch of basketball for the Bulls. I know they're dealing with injuries, but as we just said, every single team is or has dealt with injuries this season. The Bulls had the Brooklyn Nets on Wednesday. They lost in a lopsided defeat, 26-point loss at home. They lost even worse margin of defeat, 42-point loss to the Warriors in last night's game. They're playing the Boston Celtics tonight. They play the Memphis Grizzlies on Monday. They have the Cavs on Wednesday, the Bucks on Friday. This is the toughest stretch they have for quite some time, so we could continue to see that Eastern Conference not have any separation other than it's pretty clear at this point. The Bucks, the Bulls, the Nets, and the Miami Heat are the four best teams in the conference. Bucks fall to the Raptors tonight at Fiserv Forum. Monday night, we're back. Martin Luther King Day basketball. The Bucks in Atlanta to take on the Hawks. 5 o'clock tip. 4:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And, of course, back after the game with more Bucks Talk. My thanks to Evan for producing the show and all of you for hanging out for the last hour. Bucks Talk has been presented by Gruber Law Offices.